Turn with me this morning to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verse 1. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, verse 1. I love to hear the sounds of pages of the Bible turn. How blessed you are for doing that. Thank you. As you're turning there, please allow me to read from 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received and in which you stand, by which you were also saved, if you hold fast to that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, not the first day, not the second day, but the third day He rose again according to the Scriptures. The Word of God this morning, as you turn to Matthew chapter 28, I will be there in about 15 minutes maybe. I want you to know this morning that everything has happened today just like it said in the Bible, according to the Scriptures. And I have good news this morning. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our Lord, our Savior, He is risen just as He said He would. And that brings me to tell you this, that Easter tells us this, that you can put truth in the grave, but you can't keep truth in the grave. Amen? He's out, and our sins are not only forgiven, they are not only forgotten, they are never ever remembered again by Almighty God. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that if Jesus Christ paid for the penalty of our sin and God is satisfied with it, don't you think that's enough? Don't you think that's enough this morning? You can't pay for your sin, I can't pay for mine, but thank God that Jesus has. There, 2,000 years ago, in Jerusalem, on that Good Friday, 3 days now having passed, Passover has ended, and over 250,000 lambs were slain on that Passover day. The blood of the lambs ran crimson in the Kidron Brook. And Friday, of course, Jerusalem was overflowing with a sea of people, perhaps 2 million, and now the pilgrims are going home. Matter of fact, Jerusalem is quietening down. And not only that, the disciples. Jesus is dead. Jesus is in the tomb. And then the disciples are discouraged and defeated. Susan Coolidge said this, "Earth's saddest days and gladdest day were just 3 days apart, from Good Friday to Resurrection Sunday." Today is no doubt a calendar time for the church to come together, the body of Christ, to rejoice. Listen, I applaud all that. With the way we dress, perhaps the Easter bonnets, the new clothing, and the special music and the song, I thank God for all of that. But the main thing is that Jesus is not in the tomb. But the thing is, He hasn't been there for 2,000 years. He's seated at the right hand of God, and He lives, ever liveth, to make intercession for you and I. But no doubt, the resurrection is the greatest, most single greatest event in the history of mankind. Remember, even Job, the oldest book in the Bible, perhaps the oldest book in the world, speaks about the hope of the resurrection. Let me read from Job 14, 14. Job cries out and says, "If a man dies, shall he live again?" Boy, that's a universal question, isn't it? Do you fear death this morning? Are you afraid of dying? Do you wonder what holds, once the curtain is drawn, what's on the other side? I'll tell you what's there. His name is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He's waiting. He's building a place for you and I. But a universal question, if a man dies, shall he live again? Someone put it like this, man does not argue with death, but argues about death. I don't have to argue with it because, see, I know the answer about death. Jesus told us this, I am the resurrection and I am the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Amen? That's all I need to know this morning is that He's waiting on me. So death, hell, sin, the grave this morning, as we already know, has been stripped of its power. Job cries out again. He puts it this way. Job saying, if my words could be written, that they could be inscribed on a monument, carved with an iron chisel and filled with lead, engraved forever in the rock. Man, he's talking about when he dies. He's talking about on that tombstone. If I could just engrave everything I'm saying right now, well, Job, 4,000 years later, I'm telling the church about what you just said. And that's good news because Job will be taught until the very end. But Job continues with the most beloved verse in the Bible. But as for me, I know that my Redeemer lives and that he shall stand upon the earth at last. Now listen to what Job says. And after my body has decayed, meaning when he dies, yet in my body I will see God. 4,000 years ago, Job makes a statement. He says, yes, I'm going to die. May I tell you that Job was sitting in a trash heap when he said those words? His body was covered with boils from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. He was taking potsherds, broken pieces of clay, and he was scraping his wounds because the maggots and the flies were trying to live in it. And even though with all of his suffering, he says, listen, I might die, and yes, one day I will, but death is not the end. Job is saying death is the beginning of living. We don't believe that in America. But may I tell you, that is the honest God truth. We will all die, but we do not need to be fearful of death. Why? Because Jesus put it this way, the one who came out of the tomb, he said, because I live, ye shall live also. Amen? You need not fear death. The resurrection has destroyed death, and him who had the power over death, which was the devil. Now, one more scripture. It says in 1 Corinthians 15:13, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Yes, we are found false witnesses. Listen, if Jesus did not rise from the dead, what am I doing up here this morning? Because I don't have a message. You see, the resurrection is fundamental to the Christian faith. Without it, we might as well throw the Bible in the trash. Do you understand me? And without the resurrection, there's no hope. There's no salvation. There is no eternal life. And guess what? You and I would still be in our sins. But the good news is that he has risen this morning. So on that first resurrection morning, 2,000 years ago, I want to remind you once again that the disciples, they were in hiding. They weren't out celebrating. They didn't wear special Easter clothes or bonnets. Nothing wrong with that. They didn't do any of those things. They were defeated. They were dejected. They were in hiding. But what a difference a day makes. Amen? So let's start our story this morning in Matthew 28, verse 1. It says, now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. I love that. It says, after the Sabbath. What does that mean? Well, the Sabbath is the seventh day. Remember the fourth commandment in Exodus? It says that on 6 days you shall labor, but on the seventh day you shall cease from your labor. So, a day of rest. The Jews, they numbered their days. They didn't have like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. They numbered their days. So, the Sabbath then would be the seventh day. Seven is God's favorite number. And he uses it throughout Scripture. It means the sign of completion. It means that everything is finished. It means everything is to cease. It means perfection. But it says on the first day of the week, something happened. The sun started coming up. Two Marys were on the way to the tomb. The first day of the week is the eighth day. Eight in Hebrew talk would be all the numbers have a meaning. Seven, like I said, is perfection. The number eight would be the number of a new beginning. May I tell you something? That is what the resurrection, one of the things the resurrection is all about, is to give you a brand new beginning in your life. Jesus died and he rose again for that. And you know what? The offer still stands this morning if you put your trust in him. But I am so afraid today that many have come to church this morning. Matter of fact, I think I see some of you I haven't seen since Christmas. You're in the overflow room, aren't you? No. I fear today that many people have entered the local church, and I thank God for that. But I fear that you've entered the local church to pursue happiness instead of the risen Savior. Listen to me. Don't be a consumer. Don't come to church and feel like it's the church's job to make you feel good about yourself. Listen, Listen, Jesus didn't say, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, come ye unto the church. What did he say? He said, come to me. Now, are you saying, Bill, don't come to church? No, I'm saying you should be in the church every first day of the week, every Sunday, amen? The Lord's Day. But I am telling you this, that Jesus wants you to come to Him because only Jesus can impart resurrection life to you. You see, you have to get on the right road. You may be here this morning and you're on the wrong road. You're on the Broadway. Well, the Broadway leads to destruction. You need to get on the narrow road which leadeth unto life. But there's not a lot of people that want to get on that. They love the Broadway. Why? Well, everybody's welcome. I mean, you can just, you know, it's the Broadway is popular. I can do my own thing. I can act any way I want. Be accepted. It's okay. You know, we all do it. Hey, it feels good. Okay. It's the popular way. It's convincing. It looks right. It feels right. That's why false teaching is so loved and embraced by so many people is because it doesn't tell them the truth. It just scratches their ears and makes them feel, oh, well, this is good. I feel good about myself. God is not trying to make you feel good about yourself. This is not psychology 101. You understand? He wants you to know your true condition so you can be saved out of that condition. That's why Jesus died on the cross on Good Friday. That's why He took all the suffering for you and I. You want a new beginning? There's only one way. You have to have a new Lord, meaning Jesus Christ. You see, there's a God of this age who wants to blind you. His name is Satan, who wants to keep you blinded. But God wants to open up your eyes that you would receive Jesus Christ. You know what I love about the Bible? The Bible is the only book in the world that will tell you the truth about you. You know what? The fact of the matter is that you are a sinner. Well, Bill, I'm saved now. Now you're a saved believing sinner. The Bible is the only book that tells us that if you're not in Christ, you stand condemned. Well, Bill, that's not a happy thought. No, but Jesus died so you wouldn't be condemned. All you have to do is put your faith and your trust in Him. The Bible is the only book that tells a man eternal destiny, and that is either heaven or hell. Let me tell you something. Satan and the world would never tell you the truth about God or about yourself. But Jesus rose from the dead to give you a new beginning. And not only that, to give you a new home in heaven. Amen? It says now in verse 1 again, it says, after the Sabbath day, the first day of the week began to dawn, the two Marys, look what they did. They came to see the tomb. Now, did you notice that the disciples, they didn't come to see the tomb, but Mary came, and these two devoted women. But I fear that sometimes the majority, perhaps, unfortunately, of the church today, they come just like Mary, the two Marys did. Well, what do you mean? They weren't coming to see a risen Savior. Look what they were coming to do. They were coming to see the tomb. They didn't come to see Jesus. They came to see His body. They came to the grave. Luke's gospel tells us that they were bringing spices to finish the embalming process. Now listen, they did not come with great faith, and I don't fault those two women for that, because they did come with great love. But when I look at this and I realize that they believe Jesus did, I have to speak to you this morning and say, you know what? I'll bet you that some of you believe that Jesus is dead to you, your problems too. That you feel the same way they do, and that Jesus is dead to your pain or dead to your problems or dead to your circumstances. And listen, I'm going to tell you something. A dead man can't help you, but Jesus is risen. He wants to help you. He wants to help you through your marriage. He's written a book called the Bible that tells you how to have a great marriage if we would only apply those principles. He tells us how to raise our children if we would only apply those principles. He tells us how to please Him if we would only apply what He's asked us to do. That's where true life is found. Are you in adultery this morning? Oh, Bill, this is the resurrection. Yes, it is. And I want you to rise out of that sin in Jesus' name. Amen? That's what it's all about. You say, well, Bill, don't be mean. I heard you weren't mean at the first service. I wasn't. I had a wonderful time. But you're the second service. Jesus died so we wouldn't have to live in sin. He has empowered us so we don't have to live in sin. He's empowered us so Satan is no longer our master. Let me tell you something. Jesus paid it all for you and I, for the whole world. Jesus wants you to live in resurrection life. He is not dead to your pain. Listen to me. Those two wonderful women that came to the tomb, they were still in love with Jesus. To them, Jesus was dead. But they were still in love with Jesus. Listen, they still loved Him with all of their hearts. They desired to follow Him with all of their hearts. And their problem was, is that their hope was destroyed. Not their love, their hope. And some of you are here on this resurrection morning, and perhaps you're falling away from God, or you're just maybe listening on the radio, I don't know. And you're just saying, well, I want to go to, it's Easter, and I just want to go to church because I need to. Well, yes, you need to every Sunday. But the thing that you need to know is this, is that even though here their hope was destroyed, and the reason their hope was destroyed was because they saw failure in the cross. They just saw it as Jesus dying, not really taking the sin of the world. Listen, if you are being tormented in your mind and in your heart about your sin, that tells me two things. Either the Holy Spirit of God is convicting you, that means you are in sin, or Satan is condemning you. There's a big difference between conviction and condemnation. You understand? Listen, if that's the case, if you're walking around going, I hope I'm saved. I mean, I put my trust in Him, but I don't really think my sins are forgiven. Then you're no different than the two Marys, because you're looking at the cross and you're saying it was just a death. You're looking at the cross and you're saying it was just a failure. Listen, Jesus took all of your sin, past, present, future. Not only that, whenever Jesus took your sin and you believed in Him, He buried all of our sin in the sea of eternal forgetfulness, as far as the east is from the west. He paid it all. Let me ask you a question. I think I alluded to this at the beginning of the service. Would you be in agreement that if Jesus was the penalty, He gave His body for us, He was the penalty for our sin, and when Jesus walked out of that tomb, risen from the dead, would you not say that God was satisfied with the payment for sin? Then why aren't you? Then why aren't you? Why do you look and say, well, I don't believe it was enough? It is enough. That's all you need to remember, that He paid it all. And then right before the women's eyes, something happened. Watch this. It says in verse 2, behold, there was a great earthquake. Why? Watch this now. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. Every time I read that scripture, I know I've read that scripture 300 times. You know, does it not seem humorous to you? I mean, here is this angel from heaven. He just descends, you know, and he just crosses his leg. He's sitting there waiting on the women to come. The stone is rolled away. Great earthquake and all of that. I mean, God has humor. It's just like we left off last week, and when Pilate said, yeah, well, go make the stone. Go make it as secure as you can. And the angel going, yeah, it's really secure, isn't it? Didn't take me much, just a little earthquake. Now I'm sitting on it. Very comfortable. Thank you. And look how he looked. And his countenance was like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. There we are in 3 days. We've had two supernatural earthquakes. The first one was on Good Friday, the moment that Jesus died for the sin of the world. And then, now, today, on Resurrection Sunday. Now, the angel of the Lord there, he didn't roll away the stone to let Jesus out, okay? Don't even start thinking like that. Jesus had already risen from the dead. Listen, He was in His glorified body. He could pass right through the walls if He wanted to. He wasn't there. He rolled away the stone so Mary, the two Marys, could peer into it. And look what happened. It says, and the guard shook for fear of Him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid. In other words, don't be like the guards. For I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. First words from heaven, oh, how they give us hope. He said, do not be afraid. Church, listen to me. Don't fear death. Don't fear dying. Let me tell you what you should fear. And it's rampant in the church. Let me tell you what the fear. Fear that you won't live. You understand? I'm talking about live, living your life. And when's the last time you caught a sunset? This morning when that snow started coming down, I was blessed. Man, I was looking, I said, honey, get out there in that cold and take those pictures for me, would you? I don't know how to operate the camera. Or the remote control. Or the oven. No, I'm helpless. What a glorious day. Live. Some of us on this Sunday, you're so consumed with yourself and your own problems that you can't see Jesus trying to work it out for you. Your problems and your circumstances, they're hiding Christ. And Jesus is going, hello, let me in. I'm right here. Don't you see? I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I'm your answer. I died for you. I paid for you. I bought you with a price. I'm in love with you. I have filled you. You claim to be mine. Cast your burden on the Lord. He will sustain you. Amen? That's our resurrected Lord. Listen, you need to live. But my Bible tells me that you can't live if you don't have Jesus' life. 1 John 5:12 says this, he who has the Son has life. But he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Are you here this morning? Are you seeking life in all the wrong places, thinking, well, the world will give me this and the world will make me happy? No, it won't. You'll be finally burnt out and worn out. It'll not offer you anything. Listen, if you want to find life, get away from the grave. Look what it says in verse 6. He is not here, the angel says. In other words, he's not in the tomb. There's no life in the tomb. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. You know what's amazing? Listen, the angel invited the two Marys into the tomb. Now listen, John's gospel tells us, of course, that Peter and John came with the girls later, and they ran into the tomb. And you know what they found? They found the linen cloth that they had wrapped around Jesus, that when they were starting the spices and the ointments and all of that, and it was like a cocoon. In other words, they were just wrapped like a little mummy, but they were just flat. Jesus wasn't in it. What's so awesome is that even the little face towel that was over his face, that napkin, was perfectly folded and put to the side. Jesus just went right through those linen cloths, and there they lay. Now listen. My Bible tells me in John, it says when John saw that in John 20, when John stooped in and leaned in and saw that, here's what happened. It says he believed in his heart. He knew. He said, oh my, he did rise from the dead. Just like he said, there it is, the perfect little cocoon, but he's not in it. So the angels take them in, and look what he says, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead, and indeed he's going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So they went out quickly from the tomb with great fear and great joy, and they ran to bring his disciples word. Listen, God is a God of incredible, awesome wisdom. If you want to get something spread, tell two women. Amen? I mean, no, I don't mean that in a bad way. But I mean, look at when I looked at that, let me put it to you another way. I'm going to get out of this. Let me put it to you another way. The first evangelist after the resurrection, evangelists, were women. Yes. Oh, think about that. That's right. God knows how to get his word spread. Amen. And then it says, as they went to tell his disciples, behold, look what happened. Jesus met them. Not a half-dead Jesus, but a glorified Savior. What did he say? Rejoice. Oh, so they came and they held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. So the first words from our Lord, rejoice. And now while they were going, behold, some of the guard came to the city and reported to the chief priest all the things that had happened. And when they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, tell them his disciples came at night and stole away while we slept. You know, so they took the body of Jesus, but they left the linen cloths. That doesn't make sense, does it? You know what John's gospel just told us that, right? Now watch this. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure. So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. You know what amazes me is that that is a lie. Of course, you know that's a lie. But it amazes me how the lies continue throughout the centuries about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Who's the father of lies? Satan. Let me tell you something. I mean no disrespect about what I'm about to say. I'm not even trying to be critical, and I never have a critical heart, I pray. But I know that this morning on this Resurrection Sunday, there are churches in America and around the world, some, not all, there are a few, some in our city, some that even boast 10,000 members. They do not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They say it did not happen. May I tell you something? I don't care what church you go to. If you do not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, number one, you're not saved. And number two, you are antichrist. You can put that in your pipe and smoke it any way you want to. I don't care. But the truth is the truth of God. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and God hath raised Him from the dead. There's not a doubt about it. If it didn't happen, I promise you, this man would not be standing before you now. But he has risen. He is risen. He is our Lord. There's so many lies. I mean, during the time of Jesus, you know what one of the most popular lies? It was called the swoon theory. And this is where the trauma of the crucifixion was so severe, and it was, that Jesus kind of just slipped into a coma and they thought he was dead. No, listen, a Roman guard doesn't make a mistake. He was dead, okay? They didn't break his legs because he was dead. They put a spear in his side. He was dead. He didn't just, and then, you know, they would say, well, what happened? They took him to Joseph of Arimathea's tomb, the new tomb where no man had ever been. And it says that, you know, the cool air kind of revived him, you know, and he left. What kind of devil would lie like that? I mean, it takes a lot of faith to believe that. And then there's the other theory, the vision theory. That was where all the disciples hallucinated. No, that was the 60s. And besides that, we didn't inhale, remember? No. So we didn't do that. And then they have the wrong tomb theory. That the disciples, I guess they were so stoned that they went to the wrong tomb. No, that didn't cut it either. Are the disciples all lied? They all got an agreement, just the 11, and said, okay, fellas, we're going to lie about this. You know, he didn't rise from the dead, but you know, we have a good thing going. Let's just keep it up, and we're all going to come into agreement. Well, listen, would you die for a lie? They all died a martyr's death except for John. And besides that, I've been in the ministry now well over 20 years, and I have found out that there's not 11 Christians that agree on one thing, period. Why all the lies? I'll tell you why. Because this world can't handle the truth. And when you can't handle the truth, you lie. And when you have fear in your hearts, you lie. The truth is this, Jesus is risen just as He said. And you know what? There's not anything man can do about it. And listen, apart from the Great Awakening, apart from the Reformation, Judaism, Christianity, apart from everything, God by Himself raised Jesus from the dead, and you and I didn't have one thing to do about it. He is alive, and He is with us this morning. Now listen to me. This is really what I wanted to tell you this Easter, is that we could stop right now and go home and have our Easter dinner, be with our families, and I hope you have a wonderful day with your family. But if we stopped the resurrection story right here, as many do, we would miss the whole point of what Matthew is trying to tell us. Because see, it doesn't stop right here. The resurrection story doesn't stop right here. Look at verse 16. It says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. And when they saw Him, they worshiped Him, but some doubted. Now, you know what? We know that some doubted, but not the 11. These are the ones that came to Galilee to receive the Great Commission. And many were present. But this morning, what I want Calvary Chapel to do, I want you to remember what I'm about to tell you. I want us to walk away from that empty tomb forever. Do you hear me? Matter of fact, I want you to walk away from the empty cross. Jesus is no longer on the cross. Get out of the outer court and get into the Holy of Holies. That's where Jesus is. That's where He's inviting you to come. He's not out there. He suffered once for the sins of many. It's over. Now He wants you to live. And if you claim that Jesus Christ is your Lord, then you cannot deny what I'm about to tell you. Because if you're going to have resurrection life, it is only found through Christ and in Him and by following Him. That's why verses 18 through 20 are so important to go with the resurrection. Look what happens. Jesus came and spoke to them saying, now these are His words on earth before He ascended, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now listen, Jesus did not rise from the dead. He did not defeat the grave and death and Satan and sin and say, okay, boys, now you're saved. Call yourselves Baptist and Methodist and Presbyterian and Calvary Chapel. No. He said, just sit down now in the pew. Everything's okay. You know why I'm here this morning? I'm not here to deliver you an Easter message. I'm here to capture whoever's heart doesn't belong to Christ. I would beg you. I would plead you. I would get on my knees and beg you if it would help. But see, I can't save anybody. And not a sermon that I preach will ever save anyone. It's the Holy Spirit taking His Word of God and making it active in your heart. If you have resurrection life, then you have to look at this and realize that the resurrection authorizes you, His ambassadors, to do something. You and I this morning have royal orders from our Lord and Savior. What are they? Well, look at it. He says, go. Go where? Go anywhere. Go all over the world. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Listen, the resurrection of Jesus Christ reveals our responsibility to this world that's sitting in darkness. Amen? You see, it's more than just saying, oh, Jesus, thank you. You came out of the tomb. Yes, thank God. But do you think that Jesus goes, what would happen if they hadn't have gone? Well, Lord, You're alive now. We're saved. We believe in You. What if Peter and John and all just said, hey, this is cool. Let's just form a little church and we got it. Who cares? No. Listen, church, what's happening on this Easter morn is that there's this fallacy that states that we just send out a few missionaries and that's all, when all of us are missionaries. Each and every person here that believes in Jesus Christ. Listen, Jesus said, I want you to go. Come with me. Go right now because I have all authority, not only in heaven, over all the earth, over every government, over every nation. We don't have to tremble at the likes of Idi Amin's or the Saddam Hussein's. Listen to me. You have Almighty God. Jesus said, don't fear Him who can kill the body but not the soul. That's the one you want to fear. Fear ye Him, meaning God, who has the ability to cast your soul into hell. Man, if you want to fear God, once you fear God, there's nothing left to fear. Amen? Oh, Bill, this is not a happy Easter message. I'm happy. I am happy. I'm so happy because you know what? You tell me what's better than seeing a person that's on drugs or a woman that's caught up in adultery or prostitution or whatever or a child abuser that's set free by the blood of Jesus Christ and His power. You tell me what's better than that. Nothing. I was with a kid there years ago. I remember preaching in a house church and the richest kid in the community came in. And I preached that night on John 8:32, ye shall know the truth and the truth will set you free. There in the house, all college students, Becky and I were just sitting there, didn't even have air conditioning in the house. They sat around, man, and we were just worshiping the Lord. And this kid said, Bill, he actually left and he came back later and said, man, you told me that Jesus would set me free. I said, yeah. His name was Bobby. I said, yeah, Bobby, he'll set you free. He pulled out his pocket of this plastic, all these drugs. He said, listen, man, my dad's the most prominent person in this city. And I can't kick this habit. I can't kick this habit. He said, you said Jesus would set me free. Well, He really set me free because I don't know what I'm going to do. I can't function anymore. And I said, would you ask Jesus into your heart? He said, yes, I will. I led him to Jesus Christ. Then I led him to the back bathroom. I said, empty your pockets of those drugs because Jesus Christ has set you free today. He is a very prominent doctor in the state of Washington. Why? Because he experienced resurrection life. Some of you that are sitting here this morning, listen, you're here and I love you. I love you with all my heart, but you're here and you're living in sin. You're a C&E Christian. Oh, that went over big. I say that because I love you. You're Christmas and Easter and you're in sin. How much longer are you going to live in sin? How much longer are you going to hang around unbelievers and traffic with unbelievers? How long? Jesus is coming. See, resurrection reveals our responsibility. And then not only that, the resurrection enables us to bring life to others. Listen, I don't know about you, But if Jesus is not risen, then there's no reason for us to go into all the world. And if Jesus is not risen, why are we even here? Listen, Buddha is not alive. Do you hear me? Buddha is not alive. He's dead. Muhammad is not alive. Joseph Smith is not alive. Mary Baker Eddy is not alive. Darwin is not alive. They're dead. I don't follow dead people. I follow Jesus Christ, and that's who you follow, amen? So resurrection reveals our responsibility, but the resurrection enables us to bring life to others. Look at verse 20, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you sometimes. No, I am with you always, even to the end of the age, amen. Listen to me, you have the promise of the risen Savior with you every waking and sleeping moment of your life until the end of the age. And you're not going to live till the end of the age. You don't know when the end of the age is. But it might be today. It might be right now. And I'm telling you what, it wouldn't bother me. Cho-boom. Huh? I'd bring out two tambourines. It wouldn't bother me a bit. But you have the continued presence of the Lord. Listen to me. He's with you right now. He's with you in every dark trial, in every moment, what every step you take. But I want to ask you a question. Listen to me. Why did Jesus tell us that? I'm with you always. That I can't tell you the times of comfort when I've gone through periods of just horrible times, times of illness and other things. And how I would hold on to that scripture and I'd go, Jesus, I know whatever I'm going through, I don't understand it, but I know that you're with me. You said you would never leave me. You're with me always. Church, listen, the Lord Jesus wants you to know something, that you and I this morning, we have lost nothing, though we have lost His bodily presence. Do you understand? We haven't lost a thing. Just as He was there with the disciples, they saw Him. May I tell you something? He is present today, this second, in this sanctuary. He is present in the overflow room right now. Jesus is alive and Jesus is here. All of His power to heal, all of His blessing, His forgiveness, His presence, everything, no matter where you go, what continent you may end up on in your life, Jesus is with you. Well, Bill, I want Him. Well, if you want Him, then desire Him. Because if you desire Him, my Bible says, Jesus Himself said, then I will manifest Myself to you. That word manifest in the Greek means I'll make Myself real to you. Do you want to experience the resurrection power of Jesus Christ in your life? Well, there's a way that you can do that. You must come away from that empty tomb, folks, and we must turn our backs on death. We must turn our backs on this world. It says, come, be separate, saith the Lord. Come out from among them, meaning the unbelievers. Come out from among them. Get away from unbelievers. Quit partying with them and going with them. Get out away from unbelievers. He said, be ye separate, saith the Lord. That's what God says to do. And follow Him. And then He says, if you'll live in verses 18 through 20, you'll find Me all the time. Because that's the commission. That's the great commission. That's the commandment, the resurrection commandment to the church today. Are you here this morning and don't know Christ? Don't know the risen Lord? Well, you have a choice. You can have a brand new beginning, or you can just keep on the same way you're going. Let me ask you a question. Are you tired and worn out from making bad decisions in your life? I mean, are you? I'm saying, are you beat down? Just every decision that you make, it's like, Bill, this decision ended me up here, this decision ended me up in this place. Decisions can do that, can't they? You know, there were two thieves that was crucified beside our Lord, on either side of the Lord, there on Golgotha, on Calvary's Hill. And they had made bad decisions all their life. They, matter of fact, they probably never made a good decision. But there was one thief on the cross who finally said, you know what? I've got to do something right in my life. He looked over at the Lord and he says, Lord, will you remember me when you come into your kingdom? And Jesus, even though near death, turned to him and said, today, not tomorrow, today ye shall be with me in paradise forever. Now listen, that one good decision made all the bad decisions canceled out. Amen? They just canceled them all out. Why? Because He did the right thing. What are you going to do this morning? There are people in the overflow room, people that are here. Your lives are, number one, maybe you're not right with Christ. Maybe you're in a backslidden condition. You've walked out on the Lord. You didn't want to walk. You just found yourself in sin, and now you can't seem to get your way back home. And then there are those that are here. You've never experienced the risen Lord in your heart. He died for you. He rose for you. He ascended for you. He intercedes for you. He's coming again. You see, a person has a choice. The resurrection proves that you're going to live forever. The choice is, though, where will you live? Will you live with God in heaven forever and ever and ever? Or will you go to hell? And if you go to hell, it'll be because you want to go to hell, not because God wants you to go there. It's your own desire. Well, Bill, that's not fair. What's not fair? You have a choice. Do you want heaven? Do you want hell? Do you want Jesus? Or do you want Satan? Do you want life? Or do you want death? My suggestion, choose life. Because Satan has blinded you, mentally blinded you. He wants to keep you in that state. He wants to keep you deceived until you die. If I could reach over and grab the ones that don't know the Lord this morning, I would, but I don't know. But it is my heart that says, please, why would you gamble with your eternal soul? And then in my heart of hearts, I say this to people who profess Christ. They say they're Christians. They say they're saved. Yet you're living in a constant state of sin, habitual transgression. You know it, and you just think it's okay and God agrees with it. God does not agree with it. Do not be deceived. Amen? So, well, Bill, what do I do? Well, listen, if you want Christ, then you can come to Him. He rose for you. All you have to do is put your faith and your trust in the risen Savior. Well, how do you do that? By just a simple prayer. He'll do the rest. I can't save you, but God will save you because He loves you. Well, Bill, how do I do that? Well, here's what we're going to do. We're just going to bow our heads right now. And if you're in a backslidden condition, if you're out of the will of God, if you're sold out to sin instead of sold out to Jesus, then you need to come home to Christ. And you need to come home to Him right now. If you don't know Jesus, then you need to pray this prayer. All those ones that I mentioned, you need to pray this prayer. Church, I want you to pray this prayer with me to help those others pray. Say, Father, I'm a sinner. I'm living out of Your will. I'm lost. I'm tired of wrong decisions and wrong choices. Father, forgive me. Help me. I confess with my mouth before all of heaven and everyone present here that Jesus Christ is Lord, and You raised Him from the dead. I put my faith in Him. Father, You said if I would put my faith in Jesus, You would forgive me and save me. So then save me right now. Remove all addictions. Remove my sin. Save me. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Thank You. I'm saved. In Jesus' name. And the church says,